You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks, builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. Special guest today, really excited for Bradley Gibson. Welcome to the show, Bradley.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure here at the Broadway Podcast Network. If you haven't checked out the website, broadwaypodcastnetwork.com, there's a whole bunch of theater podcasts on that thing. So go hit it. Go get after it. All right. Bradley made his debut. We're just chatting about it in Rocky. I love Rocky. Wow. I grew up on Rocky. So I saw it. I don't know if you were on. You debuted as a swing.
Yeah, I was a swing. So maybe I was on. Maybe I wasn't.
Yeah. I can't remember what month I was there. Anyways, debuted in Rocky, then went on to A Bronx Tale, the musical. So kept it like with that Italian theme. Yeah. I actually interviewed Brandy Porter.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, so let me go back. I actually interviewed Brandy Porter last season, who was in Bronx Tale, as you know, and is on the tour. And yeah, just like some really cool music and dancing across the board in that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Really enjoyable. And now, of course, the man's in The Lion King as Simba. You can see him under the subway, you can see him like
it's everywhere,
on
right?
the wall. You know, I see a lot of marketing things for shows, right? And you look at them, you're like, that's nice. It's professional. The person looks pretty good. But you are a star on that that thing. I'm looking at it now. You like, it's like the literal phrase stop you in your tracks. Like, literally, just boom.
It's crazy.
You look good, man.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a lot of hard work. That's some beautiful editing and also some beautiful makeup artistry that's going on there.
The editing's great, but, you know, without the person, the editing's nothing. You look like a stud.
Well,
so,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We were just chatting before we pressed the record button over there about how The Lion King as Simba's a sprint. Right when you hit that, you're just going. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, the show, it's hard, but it's different for everyone because all the principal roles are kind of in and out, or they are on the stage for a long period of time and then they have a long break. So Simba is a little boy for the first half of the show. So it's played by a child. And I come on at the end of Act One. I sing the end of Hakuna Matata, and then I go off for intermission. Then I come back, and I'm on stage for about 45 minutes to an hour straight, no break. If you see me leave the stage, it's because I'm running around to the other side. I'm getting a sip of water, and I'm running back out. I'm jumping. I'm dancing. I'm screaming. I'm singing very high. It's just, you know, it's a non-stop sprint. It's a race to the end of the show, which is literally my last moment is when the lights go down and the curtain is over. So it takes a lot of endurance, takes a lot of stamina, vocal stamina, physical stamina. And it took me a while to be able to do it continuously without feeling like I had failed or feeling like I had done something wrong. I'm in year two now, and I'm just now getting to the place where I can let go of the stress of the show and the stress of, you know, the feelings that come afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's been a journey. It's been a humbling experience for sure as an artist and as a I'm very hard on myself and I'm very strict and I'm very, you know, I want to be consistent and I know we can't be perfect, but I want to be as close to perfect as I can be.
Yeah. I think that's usually what makes the great ones great. So it's a tough thing though to keep in perspective, making sure that we're not doing it in an unhealthy way. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little bit about the backstage stuff. If we were to go see The Lion King,
What's something crazy that you have to do backstage to make something happen on stage, whether that's like a quick backstage cross or a quick change or anything like that that's challenging back there?
When I finish doing He Lives in You, the reprise of He Lives in You, I go backstage and I actually change my costume, but I wear the same costume. It's a little different because there's a flying rig system underneath it. So the whole last 10, 15 minutes of the show when I'm fighting Scar and, you know, Simba's taking back Pride Rock and everything, yeah. I have a full like harness underneath me that's also in between my legs and on my back. And so the costume's a little bit bigger to fit that underneath it. Yeah, so that's something that's people usually don't realize that. They sometimes see the wires when we're doing the flying stuff at the end, but they don't realize that I'm wearing that for the whole time. Right. So when I'm doing my most physical things as far as being on the ground and stuff, there's a whole contraption underneath my costume.
Yeah, I've flown as well, and every time I would get off stage for the quick change out of it, just like couldn't get out of it quick enough. Get this thing off me.
You're changing, you're trying to like drink water, you're trying to like cough or like blow your nose. My dresser's like, stop moving, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Your arms are looking quite swole right now.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're like Bizilla right now.
Oh my gosh, that means so much because I'm kind of in a, I'm in a journey of, I'm calling it like rebuilding my body. I've been out of the show for a while over the summer and dealing with injuries, and that prevented me from working out, and just it's been a process. So now I'm in a space of rebuilding and getting back to where I was before, which is also very humbling and also, you know, a part of getting older and consistency. And yeah, so thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. The journey of fitness is definitely ones of ups and downs, but the encouraging thing is when you've put the work in previously and maybe you had to take a break because of injury or whatever, usually comes back a lot faster than when you first initially had to earn it. So you'll be back in the swing of things in no time.
Yeah, I hope so.
Looking forward to it. Were you just at Broadway Flea at the flea market?
Yeah, I was last Sunday. That was so much fun.
It was hype there.
Oh, it's hype. It's crazy.
Tell me a little bit. just a couple fun experiences you had there.
I'm never surprised by the dedication of Broadway fans, but I think that we often don't get to experience it outside of today's social media, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm always getting, you know, DMs from fans or people that saw the show. They're finding me on social media and wanting to say, you know, thank you or giving a great compliment or fan art or something. But very rarely do we get to really experience something that is for the fans that the community puts on. And Broadway Flea Market is that. And it was so fun. We sit at those tables and the photo booth and we get so many compliments and so many people, every age, every race, that are just loving. They love Broadway. Mm-hmm. They love shows. They came with playbills from Bronx Tale, from Rocky. My first show in New York was Shakespeare in the Park. I did that Love's Labor's Lost musical like almost 7 years ago. They have playbills from that. Wow. They are bringing photos from other things that I've done. Like, it's so cool to see that they care because, you know, I'm kind of in the hole of doing what I do every day to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I am so moved by seeing that just one person has a little bit of care for me and admiration for what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do. So Broadway Flea Market is just as much a treat for me and I think the other Broadway performers as it is for the fans.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it gives you that little extra fuel that you might need in the show when you've been at it for a while, and you're like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. And I had two shows afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I was there from 10:30 until 12, and then I had a 1 o'clock matinee and a 6:30, and it made for a really long day. But man, was I energized.
Yeah, you were probably on the up and up until you hit your head to the pillow that night.
Oh my God. The second I got backstage after that second show, I was done.
Yeah. So any pressure did you feel when you first went on as Simba playing such an iconic role? Like when you booked it, just the rehearsal process or like before you actually made your debut as Simba, you know, there's people with their, I always, with all my Disney clients and guests and whatnot, I talk about the bubble VHS, you know, people have been in this since was it,
94 came out. Oh, I had two VHSs, and because I broke one, because I watched it so much,
yeah.
I got to get another one. Wow. So I definitely felt the pressure, because Simba is iconic. I always call him my first superhero. And I call Lion King a moment that I see as an example of calling out to the universe exactly what you want, putting that into action, and receiving the fruits of that labor and the fruits of that blessing. You know, I remember I was in Bronx Tale. One of my best friends in the business is Christiane Pitts. She played the lead in King Kong. Mm-hmm. We were walking to yoga between shows on a Saturday matinee, and we were talking about what we wanted to do next. We were in year two of Bronx Tale. We didn't know what was coming. We were happy in our show, but like, what do we want to do next? What's the next dream? Like, we did this amazing new show. our family has become our show, our cast. What's next? And we both had different dreams that we kind of called out on this walk from the Long Acre to Yoga to the People by Herald Square. And I said out loud, I said, I want to do something that is iconic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know what that is, but I want it to be iconic. I want it to be hard. I feel like I'm ready for a challenge that's a physical challenge.
Yeah.
What that is, I don't know. 2 weeks later, I start auditioning for Lion King. My agents call me and tell me about, you know, looking for a new Simba. And over the course of my career, I've gotten to know many of the guys who've played Simba on Broadway, on the road, and some sort of Lion King, in the world of Lion King. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately that I wanted to go in, but I didn't know if I could. I hadn't really thought about the show. I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to do original work since I moved to New York, whether it be off-Broadway or on Broadway or on tour or whatever. And I went and started with the music first. It was very high, and I could do it kind of easily. And during the audition process, I came to understand how physically hard it was, how there's a movement to the show with, you know, I'm playing a lion, not a human. So there's a whole how to make your shoulders move, your neck. How are you jumping? When do you also let that go and allow the human qualities of yourself to come out to show the human nature of the story? So when I got the role, I realized right from the second I began that audition process how hard it was going to be. And I put myself in training through rehearsal and before by really hitting the gym harder than I ever had before. Mm-hmm. Rehearsal was hard because you're building up that endurance. You know, I'm running that sprint of an act over and over again, over and over again, over the course of the 10 to 6 workday. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a season, I would say audition to my opening night of Lion King was like 3-4 months, and the rehearsal process was about a month. But I would say like 3 months before that and the month of rehearsal, I really put myself through training and kicking my butt.
So now that the show's open, you know, we've talked about like, oh, let's implement yoga on these days, or, you know, you can't hit the gym every day. But for the people listening out there that think, oh, I'm in a show, that's my physical thing that I'm doing with my body, so I can't train. What has been your experience with continuing to better or make your body durable by training while still in the show? Because right now you're like, oh, the show's so hard. So people would probably think, oh, Bradley goes home and sits cross-legged and just like meditates, doesn't do anything else because his body's going through the ringer, but yet you're going to the gym.
Yeah. I learned quickly when I started doing my run, 8 shows a week, that I could not keep up the sort of training that I was doing every day in the gym while I was in rehearsal or before I started rehearsal. So that was kind of a hit to my confidence because I was used to hitting the gym so hard. I've been hitting the gym pretty hard and consistently for years at this point, since I was in college. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like 10 years ago. And all of a sudden I was doing this show that was painful. So the wear and tear of the show jumping on a steel stage, running on a steel stage, doing this choreography on this steel stage was hard on my ankles and my knees, and the repetitive motion of lifting and holding the swords of my shoulder joints, and my neck was hurting so much because I was moving it in such a really specific way every day. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to take care of myself, and that was when I rediscovered yoga. Mm-hmm. I've been doing yoga for a really long time. I did it a lot in high school. It really helped with my dance training. And I got back into that because I found that to be a way to train my body and also take care of my body. And allowing that to be incorporated with my gym training sessions and with my lifting. And also finding days to rest. I like to go hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that about me, that no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, show, life, whatever the task is, I want to do it to like the best of my abilities, and I want to go as hard as possible without the word rest kind of coming to my mind. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, I'm in the show where I have to rest, which means that there are days that I have to spend, you know, my full day before my show resting my body, resting my voice. That was also a big learning curve. So now, as I'm in year two, I've gotten to the point where I know what those days are. And thankful to you also for helping me figure out a program that allows, what day do I go to the gym and do this certain body part? What day do I do yoga? What day is a rest day? How do we work out on two show days, or do we not? It's been a big learning curve, but now I'm just getting to the place where I know exactly what my schedule is, and also listening to my body. There are days, too, where I open up my phone and we have a program going and there's a dance that hit the gym, but my shoulder is killing me. Mm. And do I go, or do I get acupuncture, or do I still go to the gym and do something a little different and let you know what that difference thing that I do is? Yeah.
Yeah. You said something earlier about Simba's pursuit that really stuck out to me that we can kind of parallel to life, just about how he sees or speaks what he wants, he puts it into action, and then it comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
What is something for you, you know, you said, I want something challenging in that specific case in your life, or other certain times in your life, maybe now, what are things that you do daily that you put into action, aside from the training stuff that we've talked about, that keep you in that pursuit of either bettering yourself as a performer, as a person? What kind of actionable things that do you usually do on a daily basis?
I'm always creating. And I didn't really think of myself for a long time as an artist that's, you know, I'm always creating art. I need to be creating art to feel like I'm living, or feel like I'm doing a good job in my show at night, or feeling fulfilled. But for the past year and a half now, I've been working on original music. I've been recording music. I'm going to start releasing music in the next month, actually, which is saying that is terrifying because it's been so private for me for so long.
I've seen them on your stories recently. You were talking about the recording and whatnot.
Yeah.
Is there anything in detail you can like plug here? Like,
I can say that this fall season I will be releasing a single, and in 2020 I'm going to release an EP. So that's going to start popping off.
Uh-huh.
And it's been so fulfilling for me, and it's shown itself in my work at night, you know, in my job, which is playing Simba every night. It's shown such good things for my heart and for my soul, and it's feeding me creatively. And I, that's definitely something that I put into action every day to make my life better. I am so proud of it. I just actually received a final copy of my single. It's the master, and I was in the gym and I started to cry. Uh-huh. I started breaking down crying because I couldn't believe that this thing that I wrote, you know, a year ago and been recording and editing and producing little by little throughout the year, it's done and I get to share it with the world. So it's feeding me and it's for me. And I hope that it just inspires somebody to also create.
Yeah.
It's not about who listens to it or how many people stream it. I mean, that would be nice. Stream it, y'all. But also, I just want to like say, just create. Do things that make you feel whole, that add to you as a person. Because when you're creating or when I'm creating, it shows itself in my show at night. It shows myself in auditions. I am so thankful every day that I am an artist. And I think as performers, as actors, especially in New York and in theater, we are always kind of waiting for someone to give us an opportunity to be an artist and to create. But really, like, that's our job. Like, I'm so done with waiting around for someone to give me the permission to do something that I can be doing myself, or to give the permission to do something that is a certain kind of thing. Like, it's never a guarantee that, you know, you're going to get an email, an audition, or go to this appointment that is the perfect thing for you, that is, you know, everything that you want to be doing. But what I can do is that I can make it myself, for myself, and I can share it with the world. We have that ability now. With the press of a button on my phone, my computer, I can share that. Mm-hmm. And it represents me and what I have to say right now. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's been like a running theme on the podcast, even last season as well, where certain guests would just talk about creating things. I remember Katie Goffman, she says, no one was casting me in anything, so I cast myself.
Yeah.
I made my own thing.
Make your own stuff, so, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a difference between a term you hear, oh, they're a theater person. But I think there's also a flip to that, or the other side, where they're a person that does theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people get lost in the first part, the theater person. But really, we are first, you know?
Definitely.
And I think that we need to continue to remember that for sure.
Yeah.
So thanks for saying that. Thanks for just sharing that with us, because I think it's valuable to all of us.
Yeah.
For sure. What else has gone on? Because I see you in a lot of like promo stuff.
Yeah.
For King Kong. Oh my gosh, Lion King.
Yeah.
And this past, I'm looking at your Instagram because I follow you on daily. You were on Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you sing on Good Morning America that morning? Do you remember?
We sang...
Was it like a medley?
It was a medley. I sang You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan.
Right.
Yeah, it was a celebration of 20 years of Disney on Broadway.
So how do you feel, though, on this topic of revival? So you are of the belief of flip it on its head, make it different, make it innovative.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the people that are like, that's just disrespecting and defacing the piece? The integrity of the show is gone.
Oh, I think that we have to be open-minded. And also, different shows and different creative teams are inspired by different things. And sometimes you want to see a great classic revival. I had the best time at Hello Dolly. I loved Hello Dolly. I saw it twice. It was so beautiful. I love seeing my friends up there in these beautiful period costumes, the choreography, seeing Bette Midler, seeing Queen Bernadette Peters up there, killing it as Dolly Levi in this beautiful... You felt like you were back watching the original cast. All we were missing was, you know, Carol Channing. Mm. But that was amazing, too. We are in the business of theater and Broadway, yes, but also that lends itself to artistry and creativity. And we can have Oklahoma that's a revival that is totally changing the way you think it should be done. We can also have Hello Dolly that is classic and beautiful. We can have both. Both can live in the same world in the same season, and we can enjoy them both. That's the magic of theater, right?
Agreed. I would say good is good.
Yes. Make it, just do it with excellence, right?
Right. Yeah. If it's excellent, you know, you can't deny it.
Yeah, no.
Whether it's true to the original or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not putting this out there. Let's say Lion King closes, but then gets a revival.
Okay.
In 2089.
Okay.
The year 2089. Okay. Lion King, the revival of Lion King. What kind of twist would you put on Lion King? Would you change location? What would you do?
What would we do? I think that no matter what is done with the show and with the costumes and the scenery, I think that it always goes back to the script. Lion King is such a beautiful story. The reason why it's lasted for so long is because it is so human. We can all see that show and we can all laugh and cry and see ourselves upon the stage because it's about losing someone you love and healing from that, finding yourself, making your family proud, all those things that we as humans connect to every single day, no matter what your color or anything about yourself, we all can connect on that. Mm-hmm. So it's always about the script. And I would want to really see that. So maybe we could break it down. I don't know what that would take.
Meaning maybe less spectacle and more about just the words.
Yeah, about the words.
The story.
What would that feel like? Mm-hmm. Because we've seen that done before with other shows, but never with a show that's about characters that aren't human.
I got it.
Right? So yeah. I don't know what that would mean, but we could make it work.
Well, it's 2019. I'm trying to, we probably won't be around in 2089.
Maybe we won't make it. But, you know, I'm eating. I'm pretty much vegan, so I'm trying to be here.
Okay. 2089. I got you. Well, you're looking good for sure. So you never know. I always like to ask this when guests are in a show that is so strong, that has been going and is like a machine. How in these 2 years, not the first year, but this year where now you're starting to get comfortable, how do you not allow the comfort make you stall out on the stage?
You have to keep it fresh. You have to change it up. Your energy is a little different. I'm doing different little things every night. I'm saying the lines different. I think about the situation in a different way. I'm really leaning into where I am in that moment, where I am on that night. You know, I can't expect myself to be the same exact person that I was yesterday. You know, I'm dealing with different things every single day. Some days I have bad days, some days I have great days. So it's kind of leaning into that. And luckily the show deals with, you know, incredible joy, but also incredible pain. So that's some different levels. And just connecting with the people on stage who are up there with me, but also connecting and feeling the energy from the audience out there. The show is so different for me on a day that the other day I heard this little kid's like laughter. They were right in the first like five rows. And that little kid, I don't know if it was a little boy, a little girl, but that child was having the best time and was just giggling and laughing. And I could have started crying if I thought about it too much.
Yeah.
But that energy right there was enough for me to just keep going and make the show the best I can make it, because that probably was that child's first time in a Broadway theater, seeing The Lion King, maybe their first Broadway show. So what is that experience going to be for them? Because I remember what that show was for me as my first Broadway experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So just allowing it to be fresh and new every single day.
We'll make that the last question coming up. What was your first experience seeing a Broadway show?
My first experience seeing a show on Broadway was seeing The Lion King. I was, crazy.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. I always tell this story. I was in high school. I was on a trip with my choir. We were here for a competition. And at that time, I was really wanting to be a performer. I was falling in love with Broadway, but I wasn't really in love with The Lion King. I loved the movie as a kid. I was obsessed with the movie as a kid. And I remember I had told my teacher at the time that I wanted to see something else, something that was out, that was new, or something that I was, you know, in love with. Like, I love Phantom of the Opera and I love Chicago. I wanted to see something that I loved. And Lion King was on my radar. Went to Lion King, and he purposely gave me the seat right in the middle of the first row of the mezzanine. We were up in the mezzanine, and the show started, and I could not believe what I was seeing. Not just because it was the movie that I loved as a kid, so I was still going to love all the music, but it was because I saw people on stage that looked like me. Mm-hmm. People of color, black people, brown people that looked like me, and it opened my eyes and opened my heart and showed me the possibility of what I could do, and that there was room for me.
And now you're doing it.
Yeah, now I'm doing it. Now
I'm doing it. You're also being that person.
Yeah.
Whoops. You're actually being that person for the young Bradley Gibson out in the audience.
Yeah, and that's if I think about that too much, I would be in a puddle of tears on this podcast. But that is so that's why I do it. And that's why I also want to just be authentically myself. I want to do the work right because I want people to feel empowered and to feel that they are enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Bradley, thanks for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that'll do it with Bradley Gibson. You can go see him in The Lion King playing Simba. You go to his Instagram, BradGibson13. Give him a follow. Turn on those notifications so that the second that he releases his single, you'll be ready.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right, make sure you go to BuiltForTheStage.com. Fill out that info for a free trial if you've yet to try it out. Don't forget about BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. Check out all the great theater podcasts that we have going on in our community. Please, if you like the podcast, rate it, subscribe, leave a comment. Until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.